Welcome to the Deep Dive. Have you ever paused to truly consider the symphony of your own movement? Not just the grand gestures, but the incredibly subtle, tiny differences in each step you take, each stretch you perform, or every time you repeat an action. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on something called movement variability, and it's far more profound and vital to your well-being than you might ever have imagined. Our mission for this deep dive is to explore a fascinating piece of research, a comprehensive scoping review specifically focused on movement variability in Pilates. We're taking a stack of studies, sort of dissecting their findings and extracting the most important nuggets of insight about how our bodies adapt, learn, and maintain health, all through the unique and, well, often misunderstood lens of Pilates.
Indeed. This review embarked on a really exhaustive search across major scientific databases, meticulously sifting through, I think it was two decades, to pinpoint studies that have actually analyzed movement variability within the Pilates context. Their goal was to map out the current concepts, the prevailing theories, the sources of information, and, critically, the significant knowledge gaps that exist in this field.
And what they uncovered was, frankly, pretty astonishing. There's a gaping hole in our scientific understanding, particularly in how we rigorously study the very essence of Pilates. We're going to dig into why this gap isn't just an academic curiosity, but why it profoundly matters for you, whether you're a seasoned Pilates enthusiast just starting your movement journey, or simply someone keen to optimize your body's health, adaptability, and resilience. So let's begin by establishing a common understanding. When we talk about movement variability, what exactly are we referring to? It's essentially the normal, natural, and often imperceptible variations that occur in our movements when we repeat a task. Think about something as simple as walking. Even on a perfectly flat surface, no two steps you take are ever truly identical, right? There's always a tiny difference in stride length, foot angle, or maybe muscle activation.
Precisely. For a long time, in the, let's say, traditional landscape of movement science, variability was typically measured using what we call linear statistical techniques. These are methods you might be familiar with, like calculating averages or standard deviations. They give us a good snapshot, an overall picture. However, as a growing number of researchers are now passionately arguing, human movement is far too rich, dynamic, and complex for these straightforward methods to truly capture its intricate nature. What's truly fascinating here is a different, more advanced approach called nonlinear dynamic analysis, or NDA.
Nonlinear dynamic analysis. Okay, that sounds a bit like something out of a sci-fi movie. Can you break that down for us? What does it actually do?
Absolutely. Think of it this way. If linear analysis is like looking at a single static photograph of a dancer,
right?
NDA is like watching a high-definition, slow-motion video of their entire performance. You see all the subtle shifts, the improvisations, how each move influences the next.
Okay, I see.
NDA looks at movement within a much broader framework, one that acknowledges biological and, you know, naturalistic rules. It uses sophisticated mathematical tools, processing what we call time series data, essentially, a sequence of data points measured over time. Within this, it employs measures like sample entropy and fractal analysis.
Entropy. Fractals. Okay, keep going.
Right. So you can think of sample entropy as how much healthy unpredictability or richness there is in your movement patterns, how much adaptive capacity your system possesses. And fractal analysis helps us spot repeating patterns at different scales, much like, say, the branching of a tree or a river delta. These tools reveal deeper elements like periodicity, how movements repeat but never exactly the same, self-similarity, how patterns scale up and down, and long-range correlation.
Long-range correlation, what's that?
It's how your past movements subtly but significantly influence your future ones, even minutes later. It's quite amazing.
Wow. So it's about looking far beyond just the average and really seeing the dynamic, intricate, and almost improvisational dance of our bodies. It sounds like a quantum leap in understanding. Why is this distinction between linear and nonlinear analysis so incredibly important for truly understanding human movement and ultimately our health?
It's crucial because our bodies are not machines. They are complex, adaptive systems.
Mm.
Linear analysis often smooths out the very variations that hold the key to understanding adaptability and resilience. By focusing on nonlinear dynamics, we can detect subtle changes.
Right.
Changes that might signal early stages of dysfunction or, conversely, identify markers of high-level performance and robust health. It helps us see the forest and the trees, not just, you know, an average tree height.
That makes perfect sense. Okay. Now, let's take this concept of variability and connect it to the world of Pilates. From its very foundation, The philosophy of Pilates, as envisioned by Joseph Pilates himself, has deeply emphasized individualization. It recognizes inherent human differences and, critically, the variability of movements from one person to the next,
yeah,
and even within the same person's repeated actions.
Yes. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, in Pilates, the ultimate goal isn't to achieve a rigid, perfectly standardized, identical form every single time.
Right, not like robots.
Exactly. As if we're all aspiring to be carbon copies. Instead, it's fundamentally about improving the individual's quality of movement, making it more efficient, more fluid, and more adaptable. This approach is deeply rooted in the belief that a dynamic, responsive, and highly adaptable motor system is inherently healthier, more resilient, and ultimately far more functional than one that is static, overly rigid, or locked into inflexible patterns. It's about building a body that can respond to anything life throws at it.
That resonates so powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the very essence of healthy variability, of finding those optimal, adaptable patterns that allow for efficiency and resilience, is not just aligned with, but integral to what Pilates aims to achieve. It really feels like a natural and intuitive fit. You'd imagine, then, that the scientific literature would be absolutely brimming with studies on this very connection, wouldn't you?
You would indeed think so.
Well, prepare yourselves, because here's where this deep dive gets truly eye-opening. This scoping review, which, remember, meticulously searched five major literature databases for studies published over two decades, from January 2002 to November 2022, found only five eligible entries. Just five. And that number alone is a revelation.
It really is. And to elaborate on that surprising discovery, only one of those five studies actually used the Pilates method in its intervention.
Just one.
One. This was a study by Rowe et al. In 2016, which specifically examined the effects of an 8-week modified Pilates program on interjoint coordination variability during walking in elderly participants.
So one study using Pilates in 20 years, focusing on the elderly. What did that lone Pilates study find?
Well, the key finding was incredibly insightful. The Pilates exercise group showed greater hip-knee coordination variability.
Okay, greater variability. What does that mean practically?
It suggests that they developed more diverse and adaptable coordination patterns while, crucially, maintaining the stability of their joint angular position. This indicated that an optimal level of variability is intrinsic to developing healthy, robust motor patterns, especially as we age. Their bodies were finding more ways to accomplish the same task, which is a sign of greater resilience.
That's a powerful finding, even from just one study. But what about the other four? They didn't involve Pilates directly, but I imagine they still shed light on movement variability in general. Can you walk us through those?
Certainly. The other four studies, while not directly Pilates-focused, offer important context regarding variability and health. For instance, Clay's et al. In 2011, found that reduced postural control variability was linked to decreased robustness in young people experiencing low back pain.
Ah, so less variation in their standing still was actually a bad sign.
Exactly. Imagine your body trying to stand perfectly still like a rigid statue. That lack of subtle adaptive sway actually makes you more vulnerable to strain.
So less variability in posture indicated a problem, not perfection.
Interesting.
Right. Similarly, Say et al. In 2011, associated decreased coordination variability during various tasks with indications of pathology in low back pain groups. When your body gets stuck in overly rigid movement patterns, it often signals an underlying issue as it loses its ability to distribute stress effectively.
Okay, so rigidity is often a sign of trouble.
It often can be. Then there was Sanders in 2007, who studied skilled swimmers. Now, this study offers a crucial nuance.
Oh.
It showed that these elite swimmers exhibited small variability in their flutter kicking.
Small variability. So less is better for skilled athletes. That seems counterintuitive to what we've been saying. Well, it doesn't contradict the idea that variability is good. Instead, it suggests that optimal, rather than simply more, variability is a key marker of motor competency. For a highly refined skill, like an efficient swim kick, the variability is still there, but it's highly controlled, precise, and within a narrow, highly effective range.
Ah, I see. That's a really important distinction. Optimal variability versus just more variability. It challenges the simplistic idea that more variation is always better. It's about the right kind of variation. How does that resonate with what Pilates aims for, which is often about precision within movement?
It resonates profoundly. Pilates seeks not random, chaotic movement, but rather precise movement that still possesses inherent adaptability. It's about cultivating highly skilled movement patterns that can adjust to different demands without breaking down. The skilled swimmer's controlled, efficient variability is, I think, a perfect analogy for the kind of intelligent movement that Pilates cultivates.
Got it. What was the last study?
And finally, Foreman et al. In 2011, highlighted the critical need for what they called ecologically valid testing when assessing fall risk in Parkinson's disease patients.
Ecologically valid testing. What does that mean in simple terms?
It means testing people in environments that reflect real-world challenges, not just in a sterile lab setting.
Yeah.
For someone with Parkinson's, assessing fall risk shouldn't just be about walking on a perfectly flat treadmill. It should involve navigating uneven surfaces, turning quickly, or dealing with distraction situations that truly demand adaptability. This highlights that our understanding of movement variability is most valuable when we study it in realistic contexts.
Makes sense. You can't just test things in a vacuum.
Exactly. Now, here's the most critical takeaway from this entire review, the one that really underscores the profound knowledge gap we mentioned earlier.
Okay.
None of these five studies, including the single one using Pilates, actually employed nonlinear dynamic analysis.
None. Not even the Pilates one.
No. The author specifically noted a significant lack of information regarding the influence of variability on the learning and performance of Pilates movements and skills when analyzed through this advanced high-definition lens.
That is genuinely shocking. If Pilates is all about adaptable, individualized movement, promoting a dynamic motor system that can respond to any challenge, why on earth are we not using the most advanced analytical tools to understand and truly quantify that very adaptability? It's like having a supercar designed for complex terrain, but only ever testing it on a perfectly straight flat track using a basic stopwatch.
It's a compelling paradox, isn't it? The power of NDA is increasingly recognized in other areas of movement science precisely because it offers this richer picture. It has demonstrated significant potential in fields like analyzing gait, assessing both static and dynamic balance using sophisticated pressure platforms, and even in detailed postural analysis. For instance, NDA has been shown to contribute to developing much more accurate reference values for estimating fall risk.
Yeah.
Identifying subtle reductions in postural regularity related to aging or injury long before they become clinically obvious, and offering incredibly promising avenues for diagnosing and assessing the progress of various injuries and neurological conditions.
So to really simplify, NDA helps us see past just the average performance and uncover the complex hidden patterns that traditional methods miss. What do these nonlinear measures typically show us when something is off in the body?
Excellent question. Diseases, injuries, or dysfunctions often lead to what we call decreased entropy values in these nonlinear measures.
Decreased entropy, meaning less of that healthy unpredictability.
Exactly. Remember, entropy reflects the richness and adaptive capacity of a system. Mm-hmm. So a decrease indicates a loss of quality in postural control, reduced autonomy in movement, and a less effective, less responsive interaction with our environment. Think of an engine that's losing its capacity to self-regulate. It becomes stiff, predictable, and less able to respond to the road. That's often what decreased entropy indicates in our bodies.
And what about on the flip side? What do we see in highly skilled, optimized movements, like those swimmers?
Conversely, highly skilled and automated movements, like those seen in professional dancers, elite gymnasts, or even expert musicians, have consistently shown higher entropy values.
So more entropy is better for experts.
It seems so. But this doesn't mean their movements are sloppy or random. Quite the opposite. It suggests a richer, more adaptable, more nuanced movement system, one that can make subtle, effective adjustments in real time without conscious effort. They have more healthy wiggle room, you could say, to respond to unexpected demands.
Fascinating. So higher entropy in this context means more sophisticated adaptability.
Precisely. And while the advantages of Pilates are incredibly well documented, we know it helps improve posture, movement quality, enhance flexibility, strength.
Sure. Lots of evidence for the benefits.
Right. And benefiting diverse populations like the elderly or those with chronic low back pain applying NDA could provide truly unprecedented insights. It could help us understand the fundamental mechanisms through which Pilates achieves these benefits, especially concerning the variability that is so intrinsic to all biological systems and so central to the Pilates philosophy.
This discussion about optimal variability and adaptability really brings to mind a broader, incredibly insightful framework that helps us put all these pieces together. Let's zoom out a bit and talk about the Harburn and Sturgeon model from 2009. It offers a truly compelling way to think about movement variability and its profound connection to our overall health.
Ah, yes, a very useful model. This model proposes that movement variability is not simply random noise, like static on a radio. Instead, it possesses a deterministic structure.
Deterministic structure, meaning it's not random, there are underlying rules.
Exactly. Even within the apparent variations, there are underlying rules and patterns at play. This structured form of variation is precisely what allows a biological system to be robust and adaptable, to respond effectively to new stimuli, stresses, and changes in its environment, whether that's an uneven sidewalk or a challenging Pilates exercise. The model suggests that a truly healthy biological system actually presents what they term chaotic values in its movement time series.
Chaotic values. That sounds bad.
Well, it's crucial to understand this isn't chaos in a negative, disorganized sense. Instead, it describes a dynamic, complex, and highly adaptive form of variability. Think of a healthy river. Its flow isn't perfectly straight or predictable. It has eddies, ripples, and currents, all of which are chaotic in a mathematical sense, but contribute to its health and vitality.
That's a fantastic analogy. Okay, so healthy chaos isn't about being out of control. It's about being dynamically responsive.
Exactly. In contrast, time series that are overly ordered, too predictable, too repetitive, indicate excessive system predictability and can lead to rigidity and a lack of responsiveness.
Like the low back pain examples earlier.
Precisely. Conversely, highly disturbed time series reflect an unpredictable and potentially unstable system, which is also detrimental. Ultimately, when the motor system exhibits reduced variability, becomes too ordered, it becomes more predictable, more rigid, and more mechanized. This can have significant implications for our overall health, our ability to prevent injury, and our functional capacity in daily life. It sort of robs us of our natural adaptability.
So, what does this all mean for us then? It's a fascinating reframe. It implies that we shouldn't necessarily strive for perfect, unvarying, robotic repetitions in our movements, whether in Pilates or daily life. Instead, we should aim for an optimal level of variability, that sweet spot, that healthy chaos, that allows our bodies to be responsive, resilient, and truly adaptive in a constantly changing world. It's about finding that ideal balance where you're not too rigid to respond, but also not so unpredictable that you're unstable. Wow. This deep dive has certainly illuminated a crucial point. While the philosophical underpinnings of Pilates inherently champion adaptable and individualized movement, the scientific community has only just begun to scratch the surface in understanding and quantifying this through advanced analytical methods like nonlinear dynamic analysis.
Indeed. The integration of ecological dynamics, which considers how our movements are shaped by our interaction with the environment around us, and nonlinear dynamic analysis into Pilates research holds immense untapped promise. It is the key, I believe, to truly understanding the full extent of Pilates' effectiveness and how it genuinely promotes healthy, adaptable movement patterns, guiding not just future interventions, but how we approach movement health altogether.
And as you go about your day, or maybe engage in your own physical practice, what stands out to you? Consider your movements. Do you intuitively strive for perfect, unvarying repetitions, or do you allow for subtle variations for that healthy chaos? Could embracing this idea that optimal variability is a hallmark of a truly healthy and resilient body change how you approach your physical well-being, helping you cultivate even greater adaptability and strength in your body's intricate dance with the world? Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.